Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Who's the man this morning? Amen. How's everybody doing this morning? You excited to be in church this morning? Amen. I want to introduce to you two very special people to me, my mother and father here this morning. And they're sitting right over here. You stand up a little. You can say hi to them. They're over there in the corner. And I'm sure they would love to hear how wonderful their son is today. So if you could go over there and tell them how much. They're here from Florida visiting. They're trying to sell their house and move out here. So they're going to be here all day, last night, all day today. So my father's real quiet. So if you can go over there and talk to him, he sure would appreciate it. He wonders how I could talk all day long. So let's see your Bibles this morning. Word, let's see your pens. Your lesson plan. Yeah, let's turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. My wife and I were driving to a function last Friday night, and we were stuck in traffic. And every time my wife and I drive someplace, she always wants to tell me how to get there. Am I the only one, fellas? No. You know what I'm saying? Why are you going that way? Why don't you turn left? And isn't that way quicker? So I always ask her not to do it, but she does it anyway, you know. And usually our wives are right, because we fellas, we try to find places by scent. You know, we just feel like we just know it's over there. We just figure it out. So she's always trying to tell me, you know, where to turn right, where to turn left. So we were in traffic, and same thing. I'm waiting for her to tell me or ask me why I'm in the lane I'm in. So before she could say it, I wanted to anticipate and make sure I got in the fastest lane. But I wasn't really paying attention. I was just kind of like, you know, thinking about something. And then it dawned on me, oh, she's going to tell me I'm in the slow. So I started to look at where I should be and noticed that there was a yellow truck that used to be next to me that was now a quarter mile up. So I figured I better get in that lane so I can make sure I have some evidence and some to qualify why I'm in this lane I'm in. So when she says something. But the only way I knew I wasn't in the fastest lane was to look at another lane, another car that used to be next to me, seeing that it was way ahead of where I was, knowing that I could be up there. When you ask Christ to be your Savior and you begin this transformation process, or God begins this transformation process in your life, how do you know that you are being transformed? How do you know that you're getting ahead and growing as a Christian as fast as you should or at all? And one of the ways is to compare yourself to yourself. I used to be this way, now I'm this way. Or I used to be this way, and I'm still that way. You know, Paul, the Bible says in Philippians 3, Paul says, I press on that I may apprehend what Christ has apprehended for me. In other words, I want to become what Christ has established for me to become. I don't necessarily become like that guy, that girl, whatever. God has a standard for me. God wants to do something in my life, and I want to know what that is. We're going to look at a very short story today. I'm going to learn three things about three signs that you are being transformed. The series is called Transformed by Faith. And we're going to look at three signs that are going to show you and prove to you, give you evidence and encouragement that you truly are being transformed. The title of the message is called Ready Like Freddy. Because overall, you're going to know that you have become more like Christ when you are ready like Freddy to minister to people anytime, any place, right now. That you are useful to God. Not that you have biblical information, or you belong to a church or an organization, but that anytime God wants to call on you to do something for him, you're ready and able. Because if you're no good for him, what good are you? You're just good for yourself. And being a Christian is about being good for God, not being good for ourselves. Amen? Okay, let's read a story, chapter 8, verse 1. Mark, it says, in those days the multitude, being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Jesus had been ministering, you're going to see, 4,000 people, and they have been with him for 3 days, and they're hungry. So Christ says, these people have been with me for 3 days, they're hungry, we can't send them home, we got to feed them. Look what it says next. Then the disciple says, how can one person or one group of people satisfy all these people with bread here in the wilderness? We're out in the middle of nowhere. Jesus says, how many loaves do you have? And they said, seven. Everyone say seven. Anytime Jesus asks a question in the Bible, he's asking the question so the hearers can know the answer, not him. He already knows the answer. He knows how many they have. He wants us to know. So when he does his miracle, we know how big the miracle is. Let's keep reading. Verse 6, he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples and set them before them. And they set them before the multitudes. They also had a few fish. Having blessed them, he set them before them also. So they ate and were filled, took up seven large baskets of leftovers. Each loaf turned into a basket of leftovers. Verse 9, those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Immediately he got into the boat, he and his disciples, and came to the region of Dalmanutha. Point number one, a transformed Christian stays focused on ministering to the needs of other people. In other words, the more you are transformed by Christ, the more you are going to be sensitive to the needs of other people, the pain of other people, the emptiness of other people. And by the way, the emptiness of yourself. You know, when people go through hard times, they start thinking, man, I got to deal with my pain. And they start thinking about God in their life. And it may not be that they're going through hard times. It may be they're just being more sensitive to their own emptiness and need for God. And you get to a point where you start asking yourself, God, do you care about me? Oh, God does. The Bible says Jesus is a man of many sorrows. Why? Because he was sensitive to the pain of other people. I mention all the time that I watch Cops, and I cry when I watch Cops sometimes. And it's because when I watch Cops and see these people whose lives are ruined, it hurts me. I went on a 40-day fast several years ago, and in that fast, I became very sensitive. We were doing a crusade for teenagers, and I became very sensitive to the lives of teenagers, and I would see them walking down the street from school, and I would start crying in the car. I started getting in touch with my feminine side. But God was showing me, not necessarily about the individual kids, but just about the lostness of people and the deception of them through videos and through MTV, all the stuff they were watching, and all the negative input that's putting into their head and how they were being deceived. It started breaking my heart. When you start to be, when you're transformed, you become more like Christ, you start to become more sensitive to what people are going through, the hurts that they have. We, on that video we just showed you, we had all those statistics about those people, 10,000 homeless people, every other marriage ends in a divorce, 213 women are raped every year, 360 people kill themselves in San Diego every year, almost one a day. That should bother you. Look what Jesus says in verse 2. Verse 2, Jesus says, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. What he's saying is, see, mercy looks down at somebody and says, oh, I feel sorry for you. Compassion gets down and says, I feel with you. One is I feel sorry for you. The other one is I feel sorry with you. I feel your pain. And as you are transformed into Christ's image, you become more in touch with other people's pain. Their pain becomes your pain. Their misery becomes your misery. Their plight becomes your plight. And then God prompts that to make you do something. I went to the hospital 5 years ago. I had my thyroid taken out. It was 3 months after we started the church. And the only side effect the doctor said could happen is I could lose my voice. I said, man, cut my leg off, but don't take my voice. My thyroid, both each gland had grown to the size of a fist. So I had two fists in my neck, and I said, how are you going to do this? He's going to cut you right like that. And I had this scar across my neck about 10 inches long, and we're going to open up your throat, and we're going to cut it out. I actually went and saw a video. I said, can I see what it was going to look like? Can you take pictures? He took pictures of my neck all open, and I got the pictures, and I saw a video of this stuff. It was nasty, but it was reality. I had to do it. My kids would call me Frankenstein because I had stitches all across my neck. So I was like, ah. I'm in the hospital. If you've ever been in a hospital, you can't sleep. Can't get any rest. And I don't know about you, But I just wanted to get out of the hospital. And I really, when people came to visit, for me, I was so tired the whole time, I really didn't want people to stay a long time. Because they ask you the same old questions, you know, then you're tired, you want to sleep. Especially when you're sleeping and they come in and want to wake you up because they want to talk to you because they're there. You know, I'm here, I'm dressed, so you got to talk to me. But I had a friend visit me, his name was Ralph Bernerska, and Ralph spent some extensive time in the hospital to the point of death. And he was so sensitive to what it's like to be in the hospital because he spent so much time in the hospital. And I didn't think about all this until after he left. But how he visited me was so appropriate because he'd been there. He walked in. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'll never forget. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was sitting there. I was kind of, you know, just, I was awake. It was in the middle of the day. And he walked in and said, "You don't have to talk. Do you want some water? Do you want me to get the nurse? I'm only staying 5 minutes, blah, blah, blah." And he just, and he left. Pray for me, left. I was like, now that's how you visit somebody in the hospital. And you know why? Because he'd been there. He knew before he got there what I was experiencing because he'd been there. When you are transformed, God starts to show you supernaturally. And by the way, you don't have to be there. God will tell you. You'll see people and you'll say hi to somebody and they'll and ask them how they're doing and they'll go, "I'm doing fine." And God will say, "Ask them how they're really doing." Because you'll see in their eyes something ain't right. You don't know what it is. You just know something ain't right. And your heart becomes more sensitive. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask all of you right now, just close your eyes and bow your head, just real quick. I'm going to ask you, we're all going to pray a prayer for one person. I want you to think of one person in your life right now who you know needs God. They're hurting. They don't know Jesus. They're going through a divorce. They're addicted. They're suicidal. They're just empty. What for what? It doesn't matter the reason. Could be just the fact that they may be doing great in life. They just don't know God. I want you to picture them in your mind, and I want you to think of their name, and we're going to say a prayer, all of us out loud. Just you can say it very softly, but just repeat this prayer with me out loud. Think about that one person. Okay, say, "Dear Lord, I want to ask you to comfort my friend. I know that he/she is hurting right now. Please encourage them. And if there is something you want me to do, please make that clear and give me an opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen." Once you can get your focus on other people and off yourself, then you're ready for the next step. Number two, a transformed Christian honors God with their resources. First, you want to say, "Lord, I want to think about other people. I want to be focused on how I can minister to somebody else." And by the way, if you don't know Jesus this morning, you may be that other person. First thing you need to do is get in touch with your own situation and your own need for God, forgiveness, encouragement, cleansing, whatever that is you need. But number two, then you're going to honor God with your resources. And it's not necessarily just your money. It's the things you have, your intelligence, your experience, your physical body, your house, your car. How could God use those things? Open your home up to a small group. Give somebody a ride to work. The things you have, are they all for you? Did God give them to you?
"God didn't give them to me. They're mine. I work for them."
Well, tell God he can't take them then. He gave you opportunity. He gave you opportunity, resources to get those resources. And what he's saying is now is give them back to him. Not surrender, dump them. Make it available to him for him to bless. Let's read the story. Look what it says in verse 4. In verse 4 it says, "His disciples answered and said, 'How can one satisfy all these people out here with bread in the wilderness?' And Jesus says, 'How many loaves do you have?' And they said," what?
"Seven."
Everyone say seven.
Whenever Jesus asks a question, he's asking the question just to bring to your mind the facts because he's getting ready to do something. He already knows how many loaves you have. They said, "Lord, we only have seven loaves, and these few seven loaves are not going to feed all these people. What we have is not enough." Well, who are you to say that what you have is not enough once God blesses it? Now, some of you may think, there is no way we're going to pay off that building and that whole project in two or three years, 40, 50 something million dollars. Who's to say that? The only thing you have to do is be faithful with what God tells you to do with what you have. That's it. If all of us were faithful with what God told us to do, what we have, then everything's fine. That's all we can do. We just have to be faithful to say, Lord, here's what I have, and I'm going to place it in your hands to bless it. I want to put my things in your possession to bless it. It doesn't mean that you sign everything over to the church at all. It means you say to God, what do you want me to do? People ask me all the time, well, do you tithe? Whenever you say tithe, that's 10%. People say, are you talking about 10% of your gross or your net? 10% before taxes or after taxes? Well, do you want God to bless your income before taxes or after taxes? It's up to you. That's completely up to you. Do you want God to bless your marriage or not? You say your marriage. God, here's my marriage. Here's my relationship with my kids. Here's my business. I want to run it in a way that honors you. I want to put everything I have in a position for God to bless it. Because what God did is he took those seven loaves. He says, I want you to give me what you have. Just give me what you have. And look what happened. The Bible says in verse 6, he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. He took the seven loaves, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and set them before the people, and they set them before the multitudes. They also took a few fish, having blessed them, set them before the people as well. So what happened was he took the seven loaves. He says, give it to me. They blessed it. Then he gave the seven loaves back. He says, start passing it out. Now, disciples must be thinking, these seven loaves, is that enough? Don't worry about that. You do what you do with what God says, with what you have. You put it in a position to be blessed and watch God multiply it. When God asks you for some of the money that he's giving you back, he's saying to you, I want you to invest not only in the kingdom, but in your financial health. It comes back to you. Matter of fact, let me read Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with all the first fruits of your crops, that your barns be overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. It is an act of faith when you invest in the kingdom. I was watching National Geographic Friday night, Saturday morning, 12:30 in the morning, actually. And actually, I never knew this. Every Wednesday, the National Geographic at 8 o'clock, 8 or 10 o'clock, they have a program for an hour on Bible science. They investigate something in the Bible based on science and research, and I have never seen it. I just saw the ad for it the other day. And tonight, at 8 o'clock, they're going to have a program to investigate the feasibility of all humans coming from one man, Adam, based on DNA research. I don't know what they're going to come up with as a conclusion. If they say it's impossible, then you know the show is bogus, because that's the Bible says it is. But it's going to be very interesting for what they find out. So that's tonight, I think, 8 or 10 o'clock. But I watched it the other day on the hornet. They were doing a program on actually the giant hornet in Japan, but then they did a little story within that about the yellow hornet and the honey buzzard. A honey buzzard is like a big hawk. So the honey buzzard goes out and eats some food and brings back these, you know, frogs or whatever, and feeds the little chicks. I guess the little female honey buzzard babies or chicks, I don't know what they call the male honey buzzard. They call them chickens, I don't know. But anyway, he feeds the little baby honey buzzards and they're, you know, eating. But then he takes a little bit of the meat that he brought back for his babies and he sets it aside on this branch where they can't get it. And he waits for this little hornet to come and eat it. So he stands over here and he just watches. Puts the meat out, doesn't give it to his kids. He sets it aside. It's almost like a little offering. And he sets it aside over on this branch, and this little yellow hornet buzzes over and starts eating. And what the hornet does, he eats the food, digests it, makes it to a little paste, and then takes it back and starts to feed all his larvae with the pasty version of the meat. So what the honey buzzard did, the bird, he just watched him. He put the meat out as a trap. Put it out there, and the little hornet came, ate it, and the hornet flew back to its nest. What do you think the honey buzzard did? He followed him. And he went back to the nest and ate all the larvae. I know, wow, the kingdom is a terrible place. It's a violent world we live in. It's a violent world. But that little piece of meat that he gave, that he put out there, that he didn't give his kids, it turned into a whole meal for him and his kids. What Jesus says is, I want you to these guys, you have seven loaves, give me what you have. I'm going to bless it and multiply it. And you're going to give it all these people. And look what it says. It says in verse 7, they also had a few fish, and having blessed them, he said to them, set them before the people as well. They ate and were filled. They took up seven large baskets of leftovers. Seven loaves fed 4,000 people, and they had seven baskets of leftovers. When you are transformed by faith, you say, you know what? I believe God blesses, and I'm going to make available to God my everything I have as a that he can bless it on his terms. I'm not going to hoard it to myself. I'm going to let him multiply my resources. Now, if you have a business today, guess what? Does it mean that you sign all your proceeds over to a nonprofit or a church? Not at all. Not at all. What it means is that you are going to conduct your business in a way that honors God. You're going to let God bring you clients. God bring you deals. God establish relationships. God determine that you are honest with your accounting practices, and watch God bless your business. That's what it means. Same with your personal finances. You will put it in a position to say, Lord, you bless it. I want you to do it for me, not me. And yes, he will say, I want you to put a little over here. I want you to donate a little over here. I want you to designate this much to the building. But it's going to be God telling you that, not the pastor. My job is not to tell you that. My job is to say, trust God. And then when God tells you to do, you do. And then you pay close attention to what God does. It is critical. Just like when I was sitting in traffic watching that yellow car. It is critical for you to pay attention to what God does in your life when you are faithful in every area of your life. It is critical for you not to just go whatever, whatever. That you say, no, I'm going to pray and I'm going to obey and I'm going to do what God tells me. And then I'm going to pay attention to what happens. Because God is faithful. God can't deny himself. He is faithful. And if you don't think he has, you need to talk to somebody who's a mature Christian. They'll tell you it wasn't God that was unfaithful, it was you. Because God keeps his word. He has to. Number three, a transformed Christian commits all their works to the Lord. First, you're going to be sensitive to people's needs. Next, you're going to commit your resources to God and make them available and honor him with them. But thirdly, you're going to commit what you do to the Lord. Look what it says in verse 6. It says, Jesus commanded the multitudes to sit down on the ground. He took the seven loaves and gave thanks, broke them, gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they, the disciples, set them before the multitudes. He did the same with the fish. Now, if you're a disciple, Jesus says, how many loaves do you have? They said, we have seven. Well, come over here and bring them. Let's pray for them. Now, if it's me, I'm thinking, this ain't going to work. Seven loaves, 4,000 people? Okay, I'll pray. Okay, now pass them out. Okay, Jesus, I'll pass it out. I don't know, it ain't gonna work. Just think seven wonder loaves. Okay? You got the whatever loaf you want to get, the Italian bread, how big a loaf you want to get. Let's say you got a loaf this big. Let's say you got seven. Would it fit this crowd? Talking about four times this crowd? Ain't going to happen in the natural. But what you do is when God tells you to do something, by faith you do it. Okay, I'll pass it out. Okay. It ain't going to work. Now, it is okay for you to doubt as your belief grows. It is natural for you to wonder how it's going to happen. What you shouldn't do is express that to other people, convincing them it's a dumb idea. That you shouldn't do that. That's gossip, backed by envy, undermine, insubordination, all of the be above. Ain't nothing good about it. What you want to do is you want to say, I don't know about this in your heart, but I am going to obey God anyway. Remember the little boy was demon-possessed? And matter of fact, we'll get to the story in a few weeks. And he brought his son to Jesus, And Jesus says, do you believe I can help heal your son? And he says, I believe, but help my unbelief. I do believe, but there's a little part of me that doubts. Jesus said, that's all I need. Just be honest. And he healed the son. We'll get to that story in a few weeks. Every time you do something that God tells you to do, it's not going to be like, oh, this is going to be great, and I totally see how it's going to happen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, not understood. Maybe you ain't even feeling it. It ain't about what you feel. It ain't about what you think. It's not about whether you agree. It's about whether you obey. If God tells you to pass out the bread, you pass out the bread. If God tells you to go pray for somebody, you go pray for somebody. If God tells you to read your verse to somebody, you go read a verse to somebody. If God tells you to make a financial commitment, you make a financial commitment. You're doing it based on trust in God. Now, pay attention to what he does. Don't just say, well, I'll just blindly do it and I'll just suffer because of it. God's not trying to make you suffer. Because in the end, you don't. You grow. I've been places where I didn't want to speak. Well, I shouldn't say I didn't want to. I was scared to death. Nervous. Asked God to have someone else do it. Couldn't wait till the event was over. Because in my natural sense, it was over my head. Now, did God get me through? Did it end up being fine? Most of the time, every time he got me through, most of the time I had a great time. Every now and then it was very difficult. But it's not about whether it's difficult for me. It's not about whether it's easy for me. It ain't got nothing to do with me. It's about what God's doing. And now I learned through that. So when God tells you to do something, you just got to go do it by faith, trusting that in the end it's going to work out. I'm starting to play golf. I took my first golf lesson last Sunday night after the last service. We went down here to the golf range. They actually turned the lights off on us, which was a good thing because you didn't want to see what was going on. So I'm swinging, hacking, tearing up the ground, tearing up everything. And the instructor said, step forward two steps, because I was way out here. So I stepped forward. He says, now swing. So I went, bam. Ball went 5 miles to El Cajon. The only problem is I was aiming to La Jolla. Went the wrong direction. So he said, okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to keep your head down and don't take your eye off the ball. Now what I want you to do is take your feet, spread your feet a little further. All these little things. That's it. If I do those little things, things are going to work out better. If I don't do those little things, things ain't going to work out better. That's it. So I was watching Tiger yesterday. The wrong thing you want to do. Because, you know, he's like, no matter where he's at, he could be behind a tree, under the car, in the curb, and all of a sudden, whack, ball goes all right in the hole. You don't want to look at that, brother. But I'm looking at him trying to get some inspiration. I could do that. I could do that. But all it is the little things. And I didn't know how to play in golf. It's so complicated. When he told me to move forward, I'm thinking, what's this going to do? He told me to look down at the ball. I understand how important that is, but I want to see where it's going to go. You know, he told me to spread my feet. Well, how am I going to balance? And just by faith, do it. And over time, though it feels uncomfortable, it works out. Same thing with walking with God. God's going to tell you to do something. You're like, wow, that was pretty good. Oh, that wasn't that bad. And next thing you know, those things become normal to you. Matter of fact, one of the things he was telling me to do, he said, it's going to feel uncomfortable now. And because it feels uncomfortable, that's a good thing. But sooner or later, it's going to be comfortable. As you are transformed, as God changes your life, you're going to start to see other people very differently. You're going to start to identify with their pain. You're going to start to be more sensitive to not only their pain, but what you do about it. You're also starting to look at all the things you have as not yours anymore. They're resources to you. When I look at this church, one way of looking at it is that look at how big my church is. Wrong perspective. But that's a perspective. Look at all the people I have. Wrong perspective. It's more of a responsibility. Look at all the resources. And I'm not talking financial. I'm talking about all the prayer support. Matt, remember we talked about if every single one of you witnessed to one person a week, it would be 500,000 people a year? Think about that. Think about there's only 10,000 people that are homeless in San Diego. 10,000 people. That's not a lot of people. Do you have any idea if this many people could say, we're going to address just that issue, that all of them could be gone? That cops would come to San Diego and find no business here for their show? There'd be no crime?
Well, that'll never happen.
Well, of course it won't with that attitude. But why can't, and I'm not talking about the Rock's responsibility, but why can't the church in San Diego make a difference like that? I'm going to tell you why. They don't believe they can. And all they do is come to church, get what they can get for themselves, go home and mind their business. And that is not why God set the church up. And if we could say, Lord, you have blessed me with a mind, with a heart, with skill, with a voice, with hands, with emotion, with passion. You blessed me with abilities. How do you want to use me? What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to talk to? I'm here, available, whatever. Because in the end, you're going to die anyway. You ain't taking nothing with you. It's all, even your children. My daughter turned 20 years old Friday. 20. Whoa. 20. I'm like, you are now officially on your own. Praise the Lord. This homegirl is expensive. 20. I remember when she was an hour. An hour. It was like, whoosh, whoosh. Before you know it, you'll be at your death's bed. And you won't care about 401k. You won't care about promotion. You won't care about where your office was. None of that. It'll be completely meaningless to you. You're going to be worried about God. Did you do the right thing? Well, the right thing is this complete surrender. My challenge to you is twofold. Here's your homework assignment. Number one, start thinking about one person you're going to be praying for. Lord, and every opportunity you have to do ministry is that you are ready for that opportunity. And this week that you would say, Lord, I am going to be ready for that ministry opportunity this week, whatever it is. And I want you to be praying about that one person. The other homework assignment is to be praying about Transformation Day, what God wants you to do. Why is that important? Because I don't want you to do what he doesn't want you to do. He may tell you, I want you going to another church. You know what? You need to go to another church. Don't just pray about giving a lot of money. Pray about what God wants you to do. He knows your future better than you. But I want you to be available this week for God. When you get up in the morning, God, here I am. What do you want me to do? And when he takes you to work, when he takes you to the gym, when he takes you wherever, you're ready to do whatever he wants you to do. You're not just a Christian going to church, being a good person, and people just see my witness, and that's enough. No, it ain't enough. It's not enough. You got to open your big old mouth, just like you do with everything else. You got a big mouth, say amen. You know, and say, you know what, I want to talk to you. I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you, because God has saved me for that. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. When I look at all y'all, God has given the Rock Church, all of us, and we are required to do much with it. And it starts with every single one of you individually just doing your part. That's it. The reason we get that building, because there's a whole lot of people God wants us to reach. Period. There's a whole lot of people that breaks his heart that don't know him. Period. And that is our goal. There is no other reason. Building project, raising all the money, doing it is a hard, hard job. It is draining. It is a lot. And I've heard many stories that it kills pastors, and now I know why. But you know what? Every time I feel that, oh, I can't do this, this little voice says, keep your eye focused on why. It's all the people that need to know me. I said, okay, God, okay. But let me tell you something. It would be a whole lot easier just staying right here, just doing these services. But it's going to be a whole lot better over there. And I cannot wait. And we all have to have the same vision. Matter of fact, let me do a review. The mission of the Rock Church is to... Fantastic. 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 Let's pray. Oh, I love that. By the way, if you're a visitor, if you're going to look up one more time, the mission of the Rock Church is to save, equip, send soul winners. This is save, bring them into the Lord. Equip is to get ready, and then send them out. So just in case you're like, is this the disco church? Saturday Night Fever mission statement. Lord, we just thank you so much for being good to us. We thank you so much for entrusting us with things. Not only our physical and monetary things, but relationships. You trust us with relationships. You have placed people in our lives trusting we will properly represent you to them. You have given us jobs, businesses, gym memberships, team memberships. You've entrusted those to us. You've given us children and family and neighbors. You've entrusted those things to us that we may be responsible with them. That every opportunity we have that you orchestrate for us to represent you in whatever fashion. It could be what we say. It could be how we help somebody, how we sacrifice for someone. But you've entrusted us that we're going to do the right thing. And I pray we would take that trust seriously. Lord, you've entrusted this building process with us. 279,000 square feet. That's a whole lot of feet for a whole lot of people. Thank you for that trust. And you've placed it in the heart of America's finest city. Thank you for that. But what an awesome responsibility we have to use it wisely and efficiently and effectively. And we are crystal clear on that responsibility, God. Crystal. And I pray that you would stir all of our hearts to know our place in that project. What you want us to do, who we're going to pray for, how we're going to help people. I pray you would stir our hearts and give us a united heart for your purpose, for our existence. We are not here to have meetings. We're not here to have big crowds in a building on Sunday. We're here to mobilize an army to hit the streets during the week. Lord, open our eyes up to the people around us who are hurting. Show us their pain. Give us compassion. And give us the boldness and courage to reach out to them. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. One last thing. When you leave, there's a door, a room to your left in the lobby. If you want prayer, there are people in here who want to pray for you, please visit that room. Next week, we'll see you Transformation Day, same time, same bat channel. God bless you.